Pastor Matthew Slick.
That's me.
I've been informed by my church secretary that our church has Carmites in it. I am the pastor, E.R. Tickler. I find that quite offensive that you would use a brother like me and make fun of me. I'm working for the Lord.
Let's stay on topic, Matt.
I would love to.
Don't go 50 different ways. Stay on topic.
I would love to do that, and I do that, and you're the one who likes to go all over the place and not stay on topic.
Because I can back everything up that I'm saying, Matt.
No, you cannot. And don't forget John 6:46, where Jesus says, no man has seen the Father at any time.
Okay. We'll agree to disagree on
We will not agree to disagree. If you ask me a question, I need to finish answering the question. Okay. Well, you know, Psalm 5:5 says...
Matt, seriously, I'm not going to let you take Psalms and turn Psalms into doctrine.
Hey, every question that's been asked to me, I admit to, so...
Yeah, God is wife, Steve?
You tell me, Matt.
Our whole church is just going to picket your show and your station. I am so mad I just can't talk anymore. Wake the neighbors, get the word
out. It's Friday. Hey, this is Faith in... Oh, no, it's Carm Radio. Gotta change the name. It's gonna take me a long time to get over that. I feel like ranting. Get ready. There's been a lot of stuff going on, and get in the station. And Candace played me something on the air. Well, not on the air. Something recorded. And in a local radio station, some woman called up. She says... And she was talking to someone on another radio station. People thought it might have been me, but we don't think it was. And... you know, said that Mormons weren't Christians and a cult. And she said, I'm offended by that. we believe in Jesus just like you guys. Yeah, right. Jesus, the brother of Satan, come from another planet. Come on. Oh, so that got me going. And now, it's, you know, it works out because it's Hate Mail Friday. We do hate mail on Fridays. I've actually gotten two messages from people saying they don't like hate mail. They do not like when I do hate mail. Well, hey, today's Hate Mail Friday, and it is November 18th, 2011, for the podcasters. Now, I will be teaching a Bible study tonight on the book of Romans. We're probably going to be finishing up on it a little tonight. I'm probably going to end up talking about women pastors a little bit, because at the end of Romans, it talks about Junia and Phoebe, and I was going to go through, I'll talk about this a little bit. It's not a main topic. Want to get through a bunch of stuff, and we'll probably... finish the chapter, and therefore the book, and then I'm probably going to do a little thing on eschatology, you know, in a couple of weeks, and stuff like that, except that, no, 2 weeks, yeah, that should work, first and third, yeah, and do that, and if you're interested, you can come to that. It's out in Nampa. You know what? People don't like to drive that far. They're out in Boise, you know, and like, no, I don't want to drive that far. It's like 15 minutes. And, you know, I was like, come on, 15 minutes? In Southern California, if it's 15 minutes, man, that, you take that, you drive your own bathroom. I mean, it takes that long sometimes. I mean, it's busy down there. And that's where I'm from. And so moved up here 7 years ago. Love it here in Idaho. It's great. People are great. But the idea of driving that far, it's like, no way, man. It's like on the other side of the moon. Oh, man. Come on out for some good teaching, okay? Hey, and I will be teaching tomorrow night. I mean, tonight, 7:30. If you want to get out there, folks, if you want to, it's real easy. You just take the freeway out to Nampa. Get off on exit 36. And it's only 3/4 mile north of the freeway. That's it. Left-hand side is the Crossing Church. There you go. Real easy, 7:30 tonight. And we'll be at that church. Okay, now, a couple things here, you know, let's see, someone in the chat room, Hate Mail Friday, yay, excommunicate them from the room, those who don't like the hate mail. That's good, I love that kind of stuff. Now, let's see if I can find this article. I'm just going to jump in to hate mail. Just, I'm jumping right in there. Look at this, check this out. Jay said this. I'm not going to pronounce his last name. The Greek poet Aristophanes said, ignorance can be educated, drunkenness sobered, immaturity outgrown, but stupid lasts forever. And he capitalized, makes big letters, lasts forever. Then in capitals, really huge font, he says, your attack on the Catholic Church has its foundation in stupidity. I forgive your bigotry and hatred because it is based on stupidity. That's the hate mail. That's the whole thing. There's no more. Now, he has the nerve to forgive me for my bigotry against Roman Catholicism and my hatred because it's based on stupidity. Now, that kind of reminds me, the little clip I heard before we get on the air here, you know, this is from another radio station. Mormon lady calls up and says, you know, that we're supposed to get along and all this stuff. And it was hate to say that Mormons weren't Christians. That's hate. I get so stinking tired of the dumb statements by people. When they'll say something like, it's hate. What? Is hate bad? Does anybody think hate is bad? God hates the sinner. Believe it or not, Psalm 5:5, Psalm 11:5. He hates iniquity. He hates those who do iniquity. Is that wrong automatically? Is hate bad? I hate pedophilia. I hate the rampant pornography. Is this all bad because of that? No, hate's not bad. You know, just because you hate something doesn't mean it's automatically bad for hating it. But what the liberal wackos do is they keep this word hate. They'll accuse you of you hate. Oh, what does hate mean? It means you disapprove of what I'm doing and thinking and believing. And that's what we call that hate. And you're wrong for hating. You know, it's like some guy's, you know, he's a serial killer. And you catch him. And he says, I disapprove of what you're doing. You can't do that because that's hatred. You can't hate. That's hate. No hating and bigotry now. I mean, it's this kind of idiocy that is kind of this kind of stuff leads to and supports. You know, and this guy, your attack on the Catholic Church has its foundation in stupidity. No, it does not. It has, its foundation is in the Word of God. That's what it is. Roman Catholicism, folks, is not Christian. It is bankrupt. It's apostate. It teaches a false gospel. Now, look, I'm going to have to do this. I've got to do this to make my case. I've got to read what the Word of God says first. Then I'm going to go and read what the false Roman Catholic Church teaches. I'm going to go to the Word of God. The Word of God, the book of Romans, starting at chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 1. I'm going to start here. And it's about justification. Justification, folks. Justification means you're saved. Justification is a legal act of God where he imputes, that means reckons to your account, where he imputes the righteousness of Christ to the account of the sinner, so that the sinner is now righteous in the sight of God the Father, based on the work of God. This is by faith. Now check this out. Romans 4:1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now that's verse 3. Now check this out. He believed God and it. What was the it? His belief. His belief was reckoned as righteousness. See, check this out. And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. That's what it says, Romans 4:3. Now, he goes on, verse 4. Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but what is due, verse 5. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Let me read this again. To the one who does not work, but believes. Now look, folks, work and belief, they're not the same thing. They're different words. Work and belief. Paul says, the one who does not work, but believes. There's no belief and working. It's the one who does not work, but believes. Okay? That's what he says. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. That's salvation. By faith alone, because it's not by works. That's what's going on right there. That's what the Word of God says. Now, that's just one of the little pericopes that we could do this. Check this out. This is what Roman Catholicism says in paragraph 2010 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It says this: the specific precepts of the natural law, because their observance demanded by the Creator is necessary for salvation. That's what it says. 2010, the precepts, the natural law, are necessary for salvation. Now check this out. In paragraph 2080, it says this: the Decalogue, that's the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue contains a privileged expression of the natural law. It is made known to us by divine revelation and by human reason. So, the Ten Commandments are the precepts of the law, which the Roman Catholicism says is necessary, their observance is necessary for salvation. In other words, you do the works. You do good works, not by works, the Bible says, but they do good works. You have to keep the commandments in order to be saved. Check this out. This is what Roman Catholicism teaches. Check this out. This is Antichrist theology. This is false theology. This is from the pit of hell. This is bad stuff. Paragraph 2010 of the Catholic Catechism, moved by the Holy Spirit and by charity, we can then merit for ourselves and others the graces needed for our sanctification, for the increase of grace and charity, and for the attainment of eternal life. We merit it for ourselves, our own eternal life, through your works. Paragraph 2027 of the Catholic Catechism says this: moved by the Holy Spirit, we can merit for ourselves and for others all the graces needed to attain eternal life. That's what that says. They're repeating it. How about this? In paragraph 2068, so that all men may attain salvation through faith, baptism, and the observance of the commandments. Now, I'm going to say this clearly. I'm going to say this without any equivocation. This teaching from the Roman Catholic Church is from Satan. I believe that there are demonic forces working in the Vatican, teaching demonic doctrine to the Roman Catholics. That's what I believe. Why do I say that? Because they say that you have to keep the commandments in order to be saved. It's you attain for yourself and the graces for yourself and others by what you do, so you can merit eternal life. By your works, by what you do, the precepts to keep and the commandments. That's what they say. What does the Bible say? It says, to the one who does not work, but believes, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. That's what the Bible says, in contradiction to what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. You see, Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. But Roman Catholicism says it's necessary for salvation. The Roman Catholic Church is lying. The Roman Catholic Church is preaching false doctrine. The Roman Catholic Church is teaching demonic lies that whoever would believe in it will be damned. This is how serious this is. Now, this guy who, get back to the hate mail, says your attack on the Catholic Church has its foundation in stupidity? No, it does not. It has its foundation in the Word of God. That's what the Word of God says. I went to the Word of God. That's what it says. And then I contrasted it with what the Roman Catholic Church says. And the Roman Catholic Church is false. Let me tell you, folks. I know. The Roman Catholic Church, all these billions and billions and billions of dollars, all these billions of people all over the place, all this great this and that, and the Pope with his pointy hat, and all the pomp, and all the parades, and all the Mariolatry, and all the churches all over the world, and you're saying, Matt, that they're false? Yes, I am. Absolutely, yes. How do we know they're false? Because we compare it with the Word of God. If you are a Roman Catholic and you believe official Roman Catholic theology, when you die, you will go to hell. There is no hope for you. The same with Mormonism. You have a false God and a false gospel. It's not hatred to say this. It's hatred to ignore it. It's hatred to not tell you the truth. God is not a man from another planet. That's what Mormonism teaches. Who has a goddess wife and they have physical relations and produce offspring in heaven that come down and inhabit human bodies. And the first one born in the spiritual preexistence was Jesus. And then we, along with the devil, were all born brothers and sisters in the preexistence. And that God has a body, flesh, and bones about 6 feet tall? This is what Mormonism teaches? And they have the gall to say that they believe in the same God we do? That is not true. We do not teach that God used to be a man on another planet, has a goddess wife, and they have sexual relations and make babies. That's not what Christianity teaches. That's what Mormonism teaches. If I don't tell Mormons this, I don't say, look, you got to repent from that. You got to stop believing that because the Bible says don't have any false gods. You got a false god. You're believing in a false god. I don't care if you say you believe in the true God. You don't. I don't care if you say we have the same Jesus of the Bible. No, you don't. You take the same words and you redefine. Mormonism is false. If I were to hate the Mormons, I would hold these truths back and not tell them the truth. But they need to repent, and so do the Roman Catholics. They need to repent. The Jehovah's Witnesses need to repent. They need to stop believing the false God and the false gospel that they teach. Look, folks, the time is short. We're all going to die one day. Do you think that your sincerity is what's going to merit anything with God? Your sincerity, hey, God, I felt good about you. Look what I was sincere. You know, I believed in you. I did all these things. Jesus said in the last day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, perform many miracles in your name? And he'll say, get away from me. I never knew you. Do you think sincerity is going to solve any problems between you and God? If you do, you're deceived. Do you think going to church is going to help you? It's not. Do you think that your good works before God are going to make any difference? They're not. Do you think that you're going to be able to keep your position with God by being good, by being faithful, by not going to see R-rated movies, by making sure you read your Bible X certain amount of times a week, and by not swearing or whatever it is you got to do or not go do, and that's how you keep your position with God, that you maintain it through your own efforts? There are a lot of Christians who believe that. A lot of false teaching going on in Christian churches that believe that kind of lie. But you know what? We need more preachers and teachers on the Word who are going to get on TV and get on the radio and say, this is what the Bible says. But there are not too many of us left. And I'll tell you why. Because we got morons on TV like Joel Osteen teaching the happy-dappy, mamby-pamby gospel with a smile. Here, take this little bit of poison, please. It tastes good. Okay, I'll take it because, you know what? I don't know anything. I'm just going to believe what the smiling man says. Joel Osteen, who teaches that Mormons are Christians, doesn't know what he's doing. He's disqualified from being a pastor because he doesn't even know that. Got these morons on TV, you know? Yeah, just do your little seed faith. Send your money to me, and boy, it'll be multiplied. That's right. Hey, did you know that Jesus went to hell and lost his divine nature, and he finished the atonement in hell? Yeah, that's right. That's where he suffered. That's what Joyce Meyer teaches. That's what Kenneth Copeland teaches. It's heresy. We got these people all over TV, and you know what? The Christians are just sitting there going, hey, that sounds good. That sounds wonderful. And Matt Slick, you're just too mean. You're just too mean. You're uncomfortable. You're uncomfortable. I tell you what. I am preaching on Christmas Day in Nampa, that same church. If you want to come and feel uncomfortable, come to the church. I'm not going to preach some mamby-pamby sermon. Now, I don't know what I'm going to preach on. Maybe it'll be very comforting. I don't know. But I'm not going to preach the Word of God just to draw people in the church and make them feel good. Because, man, I'll tell you, if I ever did that, my motive would be impure. I want to preach the Word of God according to what the Word of God says. Sometimes it's going to comfort. Sometimes it's going to hurt. Sometimes it's going to confuse us because that's what the Word of God does. Sometimes it causes us to dig in. What's he saying? But it's the Word of God. We need men who have what it takes to get up and stand up for the truth and say things like homosexuality is a sin. And to say things like women are not to be pastors and elders and to stop compromising the Word of God and allowing such a thing to occur in these churches all over. It's increasing in the church. Oh, Matt, you're just a bigot. Yeah, that's right. I certainly am. I believe the Word of God's true, and I believe what it says. I'm going to stand on it. But it's too bad. Too many people don't want it. Too many people don't want it. There. How's that for a Friday opening rant? I'll tell you what. Let me get to the next email. There's another email. Subject, disappointed. The guy's disappointed. He says this, I was very disappointed when I read your article about hate crimes and homosexuality. You say homosexuality is a behavior and a lifestyle, but so is Christianity. The reason people are so sensitive about negative Christian views towards homosexuality is because much harm has been caused due to to condemnation of homosexuals? Much harm. Yeah. Some people kill themselves because their sexual preference is not accepted. Also, no one is specifically attacking Christians. That is a flat-out lie. The Christians are being centered, drawn out of the pack, and attacked by homosexuals. There are homosexual groups that go to churches and cause problems in the churches. We know that they're trying to get laws passed to circumvent the amendment that says we have the right of religious expression. They're attacking. It's the Christians who are saying this stuff is wrong. They want us silenced. This goes on. Those just happen to be the people who act unacceptably towards homosexuals. Really. So we're not supposed to act unacceptably towards homosexuals. I wonder how many Christians out there just think that's, well, yeah, don't act unacceptably towards them. Let's just be nice. Look, unacceptable behavior towards homosexuals is this. Let me give you an example of what it is. Hey, that's okay. It's perfectly fine. Just go ahead and practice your homosexuality. It's okay. See, that, folks, is unacceptable behavior towards a homosexual. That's unacceptable. We need to be saying things like, hey, look, man, I just need to let you know that this sin needs to be repented of. And you need the Lord Jesus so you escape that righteous judgment of God. That's what's acceptable. Now, there's a time for it. You don't say it at work or a loudspeaker. But, you know, there's just times to say things, and there are times when we have to stand up and say, no, this people like this email, this is ridiculous. I don't buy into this kind of mamby-pamby crap. You know, oh, it's unacceptable to criticize homosexuality? No, it's not unacceptable. It's acceptable because I have the right to do it in this country. Insofar as the laws still stand and the Constitution stands and I still have freedom of speech. But the homosexuals want to take care of that. They want us silenced. Look at this. He goes on. Anyone who is hateful towards homosexuals will be equally acted against. See that? That's a threat. I've been telling people that the homosexuals, what they do is when they are outnumbered and when they don't have power, they act real nice. But when they get the power, then they start, like a sword, swinging it in every direction. They will then attack the people that, you know, just don't even agree with them. And that's what's happening. In this sentence here, anyone who is hateful towards homosexuals will be equally acted against. You see that? That is a threat. It's right here. This is an email. This is the kind of stuff I get every now and then. People are threatening. The homosexuals are going to do this more and more, folks. He goes on, I realize you are defending your views, but I was truly hurt reading your words. I find them very misguided. Oh, sorry. Hey, I tell you what, give me your address, and I'll mail you a box of Pampers. And then when you change your little diapers because your feelings were hurt and you can't handle it, you can have a whole fresh set and put them on and suck your thumb. Truly hurt? You know what? You know what truly hurts me? People are believing lies and going to hell. The homosexual agenda is trampling our rights underfoot. That churches themselves claim to be Christian are aiding and abetting the enemy of the gospel, by not uplifting the power, the authority, the inspiration of the Word of God and subjecting themselves to it. There are, I know of Christian churches where there's spiritual abuse going on by some of the leadership in the churches. Not too far from where I'm standing right here. The leadership wants the people to serve the leaders. Oh, I know. I've talked to people who've been in these churches. And I know they know who I am, and they know I'm talking about them. I know. And you know what? It's happening in the churches. I've talked to people who have been damaged by what this one church has done. There are churches, I've been threatened to be sued. I've had the cops called on me by Christian churches. Let me tell you, one of the worst times I was ever treated in front of any church, I'm going to include the Mormon church in the was by a Mormon. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You got to hear me out. The worst I've ever been treated was by a Mormon. No, but hold on. I'm not knocking all Mormons. This one guy came unglued. It was just one guy. And I don't judge a church by one guy. This one guy came unglued. And to the credit of the Mormons who were there, they took care of him. And they had him come out and verbally apologize, which he did. I mean, that just happens, okay? That just happens, all right? Aside from that, the worst I've been treated out in front of churches is at Christian churches. Now, why am I tackling Christian churches? They got women pastors and elders. You're wrong. If you're driving along and you hear me say this, and you go to a church that has a woman pastor, a woman elder, let me tell you, that church is wrong. It is wrong. And I'll tell you something else. You know, lovingly, patiently, politely. I'm telling you, you go to the staff, do a little experiment, because you're just going to believe what they say, right? Go do a little experiment. Say, hey, this guy named Matt Slick on the radio, he wants to challenge somebody to a public debate on this issue at your church. We do it right here. I'll do it at their church, their ground, their rules, their whatever, look, as long as it's acceptable to me too. And we'll debate the issue of women pastors and elders. You say, he's challenging them politely, by the word of God, elder to elder, pastor to pastor, to do this. Say, would you be willing to do this? They're going to say no. No, it doesn't accomplish anything. But the Bible says to give an answer to everyone who would ask you. I have asked these churches to do this. They refuse to do it. Why do they refuse to do what the Bible commands them to do? I'll tell you why. Because they're not believing the Word of God, at least in these issues. It's happening more and more in the church. We got these oversensitivity issues going on. Oh, you hurt my feelings. You know, we take our feelings, we put them over the Word of God, you know, and we just got to make sure. I wonder, how do you think Jesus would do? You think Jesus, if he were on the radio and he was saying the stuff that he said in the Gospels, do you think people would write in and say, you're offensive. You hurt my feelings. Do you think that would be the case? Yeah. Because you know what he did? He took the religious leaders. He took the religious leaders. He called them whitewashed sepulchers. That means you are a grave of rotting flesh. And you preach and teach lies. And inside, you are just dead. And they were the religious leaders. Now, do you think that qualifies for anybody on TV? Absolutely. We got people teaching on TV that Jesus lost his divine nature, went to hell, finished the atonement in hell. We got people saying, we're little gods. Well, you know what? Jesus would call them out by name and say, you are preaching lies from the pit. Oh, you have offended me. That's what Jesus said. And the offense got him persecuted. You think Jesus would be accepted on radio and TV today? He said the truth. Now, he was loving and he was kind, and that's true, and he was. But he also said what had to be said. But we have apparently an intolerance in society today to such a degree that we're not allowed to say anything that might offend somebody. Of course, it's okay to offend Christians left and right. It's okay to force homosexuality into the schools. It's okay to make Christians look like buffoons on TV, look like intolerant bigots. That's okay to offend the Christians, to have the Lord's name being misused every single day, all the time. And almost every show I've heard and seen, they do that. I find that extremely offensive. But yet, we find that society has no problem offending Christianity. But if we say homosexuality is a sin, oh, now we're the ones offended, being offensive, and they're going to tackle us. And if I go to a Christian church and say, I'm sorry, but you shouldn't have a woman pastor and elder, because the Bible says you're not supposed to. It says the elder, who's a pastor, is to be a man of one woman. It specifically states it like that. In Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, and Paul clearly says, because of the created order in Adam, a woman is not to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain silent, for Adam was first created. He ties in with the created order, and we've got people all over the place taking that scripture and interpreting it in such a way that it means the opposite of what it says. We've got Christians doing this. Man, they can't even get their own log out of their own eye, let alone go out and point fingers at anybody else. And when I try and ask somebody, hey, would you mind having a conversation with me about why you're allowing women pastors and elders, I get the cops called on me by the Christians. Yeah, way to go, Churches of Meridian. It's ridiculous. The love of many will grow cold, Matthew 24:12 says. And we Christians, man, I'm telling you, we better stand up. We better stand up and not fight. No, be gentle, but be firm and be truthful. That's what we need to do. It's hard. It's hard saying these things. I feel like I'm the doomsday prophet sometimes. Mr. Negativity come up and say these things. But it's the things that need to be said. Because we're going to lose our country to the wacko liberals. We're going to lose our church to the wacko liberals. We've got so many people who do nothing but espouse political mamby-pamby crap from the pulpits. There's a United Methodist Church not too far from where I'm sitting right now. They had a Muslim imam come into their church during a Sunday service and read out of the Quran. That demonic work. Oh, dare I say that? Yes, dare I say that. Because that's what it is. It's false. We don't have enough men who are strong enough in the faith to want to stand up for righteousness' sake. Well, no wonder. Society attacks them, feminizes them. If you stand up for what's right, then you're told you're not in touch with your feminine side. Well, Christ calls us to stand, to go to the place of martyrdom if need be, to pick up the cross and follow him. Man, that's it. So, I'm ranting a little bit. I think I'm going to take a little bit of a break. Get a call. Go back on the rant train. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Craig from the UK. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hey. Matt. So what's up, man? What do you got?
I wanted to ask you about tongues.
Okay.
Because, you know, I've been having a debate with a friend, and he's a cessationist. He believes that, you know, the gifts have ceased. Do you think that tongues were always, do you think they were like foreign languages, or is it like a language?
They could have been the same languages like, that were in the area, in the dialects. It could have been foreign languages that people happened to know. It could have been foreign languages that people did not happen to know. Could have also been angelic languages spoken of in 1 Corinthians 13. Okay?
Because I think, the way I think about this, but I'm not sure if it's correct, I thought tongues are like heavenly language where you speak to God.
That's one possibility.
Paul says when you speak in tongues to God, like that's like you edify yourself.
Right. 1 Corinthians 14. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, but like, obviously, like, in the church, like, when you're in a corporate gathering, like, you're supposed to have an interpretation, aren't you, when you bring a tongue? Because if not, it's just kind of not beneficial for the whole church.
Well, it depends on the context. And we must understand that in the context of the charismatic gifts operating in the church, they're to be done by two or three at the most, with interpretation, otherwise keep silent. The unbelievers will think you're crazy. Generally speaking, the interpretation is from one language to another language. Private prayer language is different. Now, see these idiots get on TV and just start speaking in tongues as though they're super spiritual, and people just drop their jaws in adoration, thinking, oh, everything's great. And these guys are violating scripture by doing this. So,
okay. Yeah, because in a lot of churches like you go to, sometimes like you find that people, loads of people are speaking in tongues at once, and that's like unbiblical. Mm-hmm. Where it's like unregulated.
Yeah, it happens.
Where everyone's doing it at once.
Yep. Yep, I've been in churches where they do that, and it's wrong. Yeah. And what gets me is, you know, I just say to people, that's wrong. Who are you to judge? I'm not. The Bible says two or three, otherwise remain silent. Do with interpretation. You guys aren't doing that. You're wrong. That's your interpretation. I just quoted what it said. That's how it works.
Yeah, because it's really funny, because like one guy I was arguing with about tongues, he's a cessationist, he says that tongues were done away with the completion of Scripture, and he even said that tongues are like satanic.
But no, he's full of crap.
I just thought, like, But for me, that's like borderline on blasphemy to say that.
Yeah, yeah, he just doesn't know.
Exactly what the Pharisees did to Jesus. Like, the Pharisees said to Jesus, like, you know, you do these miracles and healings in the name of Satan, but that's like, that's almost by saying tongues are like satanic, you're attributing the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's power to Satan.
Right,
like denying the work of the Holy Spirit.
Right, I've heard that argument. I wouldn't go that far, but I would just say that the people who hold to that, and I've met a few of them, just don't understand the exegetical issue. And that they are error. 1 Corinthians 1:7 says that we not lack any charismata while we're waiting for the return of Christ. Charismata, charismatic. That we not lack any spiritual gift, any charismatic gift while we're waiting for the return of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 13:8-12, Paul tells us that when the perfect comes, and it's not the return of Christ. Excuse me, it's not the Bible. When the perfect comes, that's going to be the return of Christ. We will see properly.
Yeah, I believe it's the return of Christ as well.
Yeah, and that's the absolute best explanation for it. That's when these things are going to cease. In the meantime, we still have them.
I could tell you the name of the guy who said it as well, that you should get him on your show and debate with him about it.
And who's that?
His name is James Lyman.
Okay, what's your email name?
Like known as James the Preacher.
Email me some stuff. Maybe we'll get him on and we can go at it. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. Cool. What's your email address? Because I don't know your email.
Go to karm.org on the bottom of the site there, okay?
Bottom of the site.
Yeah, the bottom of the website.
Cool.
is the email. Just karmstuff@yahoo.com, okay?
Okay, cool. I'll email you some stuff.
Okay. Okay, God bless. Okay?
Cool. See you, buddy.
Okay, we'll see you,
bye.
Man. All right. Okay. So Diane, who helps me out, now they listen to me in the chat room, because you can do that, and they're listening. It says, check this out. This is she put this PM. Response to my 11-7 podcast, someone said that Paul, you know, I talk about women pastors, elders, Paul said for women to be remain silent, but did Jesus say it? And this person said, Paul isn't infallible, so we cannot take his word as the word of God. He was human and was probably making a mistake. Whoa. This kind of really bad thinking is pretty prevalent in the church. I have heard people say stuff like this. Well, Jesus didn't say it, but, you know, I mean, or Jesus said this, but Paul said, we can't trust Paul. I'm like, are you insane? I wonder if people like that are even born again. They don't understand what the issue is. It's called Scripture. Peter called Paul's writings Scripture. Scripture is inspired of God. Paul's words were inspired. The apostle called by Jesus. The apostle himself called by Jesus, because Jesus said in Acts chapter 9 that Paul was chosen by him to represent him. Paul, in his apostolic authority, said what he said. I'm going to say this again. He said in 1 Timothy 2:12-13, I do not allow a woman to exercise authority over a man, but to remain silent, for Adam was first created. The word silent doesn't mean absolute silence. It means just keep it down, is what it means. In the context of authoritative teaching, that's not her position. And he ties it in with the created order issue. I am bewildered at how anybody could look at that and say, well, you know what? It doesn't mean what it says. It doesn't mean that she doesn't allow it. It means he does allow it. And that's why we have elders who are women in our church. That's why we have preacher women in our church. Because you know what? Everybody's created equal. And they use idiotic exegesis, or I should say eisegesis, reading in the text. There's neither male nor female in Christ, Galatians 3:28, which is not talking about church order and church authority. It's talking about salvation in Christ. There's neither male nor female. That's what's going on. People can't even exegete their way out of a wet paper heresy. And their pastor's teaching this stuff to people in congregations. No wonder they call the cops on me. They don't know the love of Christ. If I have a church and someone's picketing out in front of my church, I'm telling the elders, you get out there and you make sure they're safe. You make sure they're taken care of. What if a homosexual's man ranting out there? Offer them coffee. Make sure they're okay. That's what I would do. because they have the right to do that. I'm not going to call the cops on them. Man, I'll get back to the emails. I wasn't even really going to do all this. I'm not going to mamby-pamby mood when I came in here. And then thanks to Candace giving me it's like a three-minute radio clip before I got on the air. I'm like, no way. It got me going. You know, it did. Thanks a lot, Candace. Yeah, she's throwing her hands up in the air like she's blameless. Yeah. Oh, well, she's writing something. What are you writing? I'm wonderful. I'm really great. She's writing fast. Got a smirky look on her face, tilting her head back and forth. And here it comes. You don't need my help to rant. That is true. That is true. Roses are red. Violets are blue. I love to rant. What about you? Okay, look. Here's another one. Hate mail. This is a hate mail. The reason that atheists use incendiary statements and emotionally laden terminology is that to them it is just so obvious that deities do not and have never existed and are in such disbelief that other people can still be so blind and gullible. That's it. The atheists know everything. Believing in God is ridiculous. How could you possibly believe in a God? Oh, I don't know. Look out in the creation. Is it by accident? Look at life. Is that by chance? Look at information structures in the DNA molecule. Is that random? Is that what it is? He goes on. They are just tired of hearing these fallacies and frustrated with dealing with people who have such illogical beliefs that it ends up making them angry and resentful of people for being so obtuse and easily manipulable. 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 Okay. Don't put that word. Manipulable. Look, as far as I'm concerned, it's the atheists who are the ones being manipulated by the demonic forces when they start believing the lie that there is no God. You know, this person begs the question. They're just tired of hearing the fallacies. How do you know it's a fallacy? Because you believe it's a fallacy? You believe it's a fallacy? So dealing with people who have such illogical beliefs. Believing in a God is not illogical. But it's illogical to say that we came, or that life came from nothing. No life. It's illogical to say that the universe has been here forever. It's illogical. Many atheists hold to that. It's illogical to say that morality is just some kind of a relative kind of a thing. We do whatever we want and then go complain about the Christian God. I mean, there's so much illogic in atheistic circles, in atheistic ideas, that is ridiculous. Religion causes people to make decisions based on irrational beliefs. Who says? You know every single religion? You know, I'm a very, very, very serious Christian. I make decisions based on logic all the time. Well, maybe that's not about other Christians, but hey. Anyway, he goes on, and that affects everyone and causes enormous problems in the world. Enormous problems. That's right. Believing in God causes enormous problems. Well, believing in false gods does. Like Islam. I mean, come on, the Quran, that's a dangerous book. Well, kill people and don't take Jews and Christians as your friends and things like that. The Bible, the New Testament in Christianity, following Christ, doesn't teach that at all. It teaches the opposite. It teaches the exact opposite of that. Love your neighbor. Be patient. Be loving, forgiving. That's what it teaches. Is that bad? It's not bad. It's good. It's what you want in society. But hey, atheistic Russia killed a minimum of 20 million people in the 1900s. Atheistic Russia did. Did you know that? Hey, atheistic China in the 1900s killed another 20 million. How about that? Well, what about Hitler? Hitler killed about 14 million people, 6 million Jews. Well, Hitler was a Christian, they say. No, he was not. He hated Christianity. He hated it. He was involved in the occult. And he believed in evolutionary principles and the supremacy of the white race. And look what he did. You know, when I read emails from people like this, what I see is not only illogic, but incredible ignorance and brainwashing. What I think they do is sit in front of the TV like a ceremony. I'm going to go watch the liberal news. Watch this. They ceremoniously walk in front of the TV. and then they stare at the TV. They have the remote in their hand, get ready to turn it on, but they got to be careful. They got to get in the right mindset, got to get in the right frame of mind. So what they do is got to lower the eyelids to about half mast, let the jaw hang open a little bit, start breathing through the mouth. Then you got to relax. Click on the TV to on, go to the liberal news station, and believe whatever it tells you. Believe. And we're the ones who are rational. He goes on, the most compelling argument against the belief in deities is the realization of how religion and spirituality came to be. Ooh, really? I guess he's the authority. At some point, humans got intelligent and curious enough to start asking questions about their world that they were not able to answer, so they came up with the theories to satisfy their curiosity. Those theories were totally incorrect, but evolved over time into a very convenient way to control primitive populations and impose morality and order onto them at a time when the resources did not exist to enforce laws and people were barbarians. Now, let me tell you something, folks. That right there is the mindset of a lot of liberals. That's what's being taught in school. This is what's being taught to our children. Listen to this again. I've heard about it. I've been in classes. I've seen it. This is what's happening. Listen to this. This is what, picture people coming out of school thinking this. Walking around in society, atheists thinking this. What are they going to do if they get in power? They're thinking this. Those theories, this religious stuff, right, were totally incorrect, but evolved over time into a very convenient way to control primitive populations and impose morality and order onto them at a time when the resources did not exist to enforce laws and people were barbarians. This is a good synopsis of what a lot of people believe. I have heard it numerous times from atheists, from agnostics, from the homosexuals. I've heard it from all kinds of people who said that kind of a thing, and they want to get power. Now, what do you think is going to happen when they get in power and they're not godly and they believe in evolution and they believe that their own ideas of righteousness are what is right? They're doing what's right in their own eyes and they get in power. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're going to be nice to us? It's not going to happen. Look, open your eyes. The Christians are being persecuted. The Christians are being persecuted. It is happening. Now, look, if you think I'm joking, let's see if I can find this really fast. And my wife printed up something today and wanted me to read it, and I did. And Catherine sent me something. I'm going to read this. This is what she said. Check this out. Here it is. As a Christian wife and mom that lives in California, my ears have perked up. Hey, Catherine, how you doing? I'm waving to you. Who perked up at the times when you have mentioned the homosexual agenda. Much of what you have talked about has played out exactly the way you describe in most places in California. My husband and I have been fortunate to live in a small city, which would still be considered conservative compared to most cities in California. But we both can't help but notice how this agenda you are talking about is creeping into the society where we live. Why have my ears perked up, as you ask? Some background may be required to explain this better. Several years ago, when our daughter was in summer school, so that she could get a class out of the way and be able to be free up a period to take additional band class during the school year, she was approached by two girls that claimed to be bisexual. They were informing her of their sexual orientation and asking her to become involved with this. She was only 15 and hadn't had much exposure to this through our home, only what the Bible said about such things. Needless to say, she was terrified, which seemed an unusual reaction until we probed it further and found out that they were older and were actually stalking her. We notified the teacher. Nothing changed. We spoke to the principal. Nothing changed. We kept getting the same rhetoric back at me. They are allowed to their sexual orientation. Basically, our daughter had no rights in the situation. After many conversations back and forth for our daughter's safety and mental health, we were forced to pull her from summer school. She's now 22 and going to college, where this is an everyday occurrence on campus, but she has developed the ability to have conversations and express opinions that she was not able to at 15. We also have two boys in our home that have been part of these same conversations, both at high school and at the college level, where it is literally shoved at them, not only from students, but from professors as well. All of our children have been labeled at one time or another homophobic. Yes, even by other students in the church youth group, for standing on what the Bible says about these things. There really is a war going on, she continues. There really is a war going on out there that's being fought every day by youth on our high school and college campuses and more than ever before. A need for parents to give their children the weapons necessary to combat what they're being taught. Teaching them to put what the Lord says on this in the forefront, not remaining silent, but being efficient and articulating what the real issue is. I came across an interesting article that further expands on how much this agenda is affecting all society in all areas. Now, I'm going to read the article here in a minute, but she goes on, thank you, Matt, for putting the information on CARM, because it's not just going to go away. Continue to let us hear how we can have loving conversations with homosexuals without waffling on what the Bible says about this. Thank you for keeping us up and aware of this agenda in our culture. I know it's not an easy job, and it's not. But thank you for not giving up, as you encourage us not to give up and remain silent either. Now, that's the end of that. Okay, I'm going to read the article. This is a link. This is from cnsnews.com. Check this out. This is just wonderful. This is great stuff. I read this article too. Toronto Zoo puts the kibosh on gay penguin agenda. Gay penguins. A spokesman for the Toronto Zoo said the two male African penguins, Buddy and Pedro, which have been portrayed in some media reports as gay, are actually part of a breeding program for endangered species, and that their bond is social, not sexual. Buddy, in fact, had a female mate for 10 years, and they produced baby penguins until she died. Okay? So, this is what's going on, right? Now, I didn't underline all this stuff because I'm reading it live here, so let me... Like, it says they bonded as friends. Okay, bond is better described as a social bond with these two male penguins. It's not a sexual bond. They're familiar with each other. This is what the officials are saying. Buddy and Pedro were moved together to the Toronto Zoo, where Pedro will be breeding with females for the first time. Young said the breeding season lasts several weeks, and then penguins will be returned to their colony. According to the news reports, Pedro and Buddy were separated because they were gay. And after public outcry, plans were made to reunite the pair. What? Public outcry? The gay penguins! Get them back together! They're lovers! You can't do that! You can't break up the gay penguin couple! Would they? It was a hubby penguin and a wifey penguin, and they're doing the penguin thing, maybe baby penguins, and they break them up for breeding things? Would there be an outcry for breaking up the heterosexual bond? No, that's okay. Break up the marriage. No, you can do the homo thing. Hey, man, no way. Outcry. Gay penguins outcry. Golly. And some involved with the zoo have commented on the penguins, including Joe's, whatever his name is. It's a complicated issue. He goes on. Anyway, the whole thing is this. People are so liberally minded, so brainwashed from society that, you know, that this gay thing is all normal, that they even get upset about these penguins. They're just two guys hanging out together. They separate them for breeding purposes. Hey, outrage. Golly. Oh, so much heresy, so little time. Am I the only one doing this? No, wait, what's his name does this? Todd Friel. He does this too. He does these. Does he do rants like I do? He does more mellow rants, doesn't he? He's better at it. He's gentler. He's nicer. Yeah, he's a nice ranter. I'm a rough ranter. I should get a t-shirt. I'm a rough ranter. That's right. I'm a rough ranter. Todd Friel's a... Should I call him a mamby-pamby ranter? If that gets back to him, he'll spit his coffee in the air. What? He'll laugh, but he... Yeah, okay, at any rate. All right, we'll get to the caller. All right, Dell. How you doing, buddy?
I'm enjoying your show. Really, I'm enjoying it. I cannot believe how idiotic people are with gay penguins. Give me a break. Do they really have to do this?
This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness. I'm probably going to get some hate something or other when I say this, but Am I allowed? I'm not allowed to cuss. I know that.
Yeah, don't cuss in the air.
But am I allowed to be opinionated?
You certainly are, as long as okay. We still have our freedom of religion and freedom of speech until the homosexuals and the liberals don't like what we're saying. And then they change the laws to make them have the power and the authority and tell us what to think and feel and be, which is happening. Next thing, we'll go to concentration camps next.
As long as we have this guy in office, I mean, we're going to have a fiasco and a half. I'd call it something else, but better not.
Yeah.
Listen, have you ever watched this movie called September Dawn?
Oh, yeah, September Dawn. About the Mountain Meadows Massacre, the Mormon Church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was at the 150th anniversary on site when they had a big ceremony. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big joke. Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and all these chowderheads, they don't know what's cooking. They really don't. I'm an ex-Navy SEAL, so I can get away with some of this.
Okay.
I would have loved to have been with you when you were at that church and you were getting all these men coming at you. I would love to have been there. I haven't been in a great skirmish in a long time. That would have been cool. I would have liked that.
Believe it or not, I've actually been offered bodyguard protection.
For
real.
Yeah, I think you're going to need something here for long, because as long as people like you and I and other people like us are opinionated, the gays, the lesbians, the queers, if you will, they don't like it. They hate us with a passion. So does the government. The government wants us dead. I'm thoroughly convinced.
Yeah.
But have you seen the movie The Godmakers?
The what?
Godmakers.
Oh yeah, yeah. Ed Decker.
Yeah, Ed Decker.
I was there when they were voting on the title and the whole bit back in the day. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back in the day is right. And now it's all distorted and everything. It seems as though they're making everything to fit their point of view, whether you like it or not. This is the way we're going to have it.
Yeah.
And here in Idaho especially, you know, Montana self-sufficient, Wyoming self-sufficient, Oregon self-sufficient. I think Washington is getting in that way. But if we put some kind of gambling in here so that people could, I mean, I'm not totally for it, but I'm for it as far as the state standpoint goes, because it would create revenue, it would create jobs, it would create a lot of good things.
No, we don't want to do gambling. I can do a whole thing on why we shouldn't want to do gambling. Right.
Oh, okay.
It's immoral.
Well, okay, then I'll get off that one then.
Yeah. But we got 20 seconds in the show, so I'm going to...
Okay, all right. Here's the thing. If the Mormons would actually listen to their own doctrine, they would wonder, how can I be this stupid? They really would.
But it's not an issue of intelligence. It's an issue of spiritual blindness. Okay.
Even a baboon has better intelligence than that.
Hey, man, look, the music's going. I got to go, okay? Sorry I got to cut you, but I got to go.
Man.
But, hey, man, God bless.
Have a great...
Okay,
have a great one. We'll be listening to you. Bye
okay,
now.
God bless. Hey, folks, I'll be teaching tonight at the Crossing Church. If you want to get to it, 7:30 tonight, all you got to do is go out the freeway, exit 36. Go north, 3/4 mile, left-hand side, the Crossing Church. Exit 36, north, you'll be there. God bless, everybody. Back in the studio Monday. See ya.
This has been Faith and Reason with Matt Slick. For more, go to carm.org. That's carm.org.